The Business on RTE Radio 1 with AIB. Whatever stage your business is at, there's always time to imagine sustainable, positive change. AIB, for the life you're after.
Well, we've been hearing a lot about the Australian ban on social media for younger people, but what about tech and the adults in the room? Is our growing dependency on tech and smartphones affecting the way we think? We're joined by Elaine Burke from the For Tech's Sake podcast and neuroscientist Ian Robertson, author of How Confidence Works. Elaine, first to you, are we living too much of our lives online?
I think usually when we're talking about this kind of technology and the distractions, it's the phones usually that we're talking about. They are quite an intimate device that we let into a lot of aspects of our life. We carry it around with us constantly, bring it into the bathroom and all sorts of places. So what you have there that you don't often think about is something that is a window into a whole wide world. Like, I think we have a challenge sometimes of thinking of online as real life. But there's a great advertisement about kids' use of smartphones, say, in the bedroom. And it kind of shows a little girl and she's being bombarded with people talking at her. There's, you know, friends of hers talking about stuff. There's also people advertising stuff to her. There's influencers trying to tell her how to do her makeup. And it's very noisy and it seems kind of exhausting. And that's kind of what it's like for all of us if we really thought about it, when you have those phones everywhere.
And Ian, having the phone everywhere and that sense of being always on, what's that doing to our brain?
Well, what it's doing, Richard, is stealing our attention. Tech companies are commodifying our attention and our children's attention. And how we feel and how we perform depends on what we pay attention to and how we use that attention. I remember when I was the last year in school, I remember a French teacher saying, look, now is the only time in your lives, just take time to just lie in the grass and dreamily look at the sky and just do nothing. I remember taking that advice and just saying, oh, this time in life, young, you can just afford to let your mind roam and dream. And that capacity, that was really important, because what you're doing there in your brain, you're allowing in a conscious way circuits in the middle of your brain called the default mode network, which kind of cycles through memories and autobiographical memories, but also ideas and thoughts. It's a kind of exercise for your brain that's completely different from the exercise it gets when you're scrolling through a feed or checking on messages, and which we now, unfortunately, and I cannot exclude myself from this, we do far too much. And what that does is, when you're using these externally oriented, they're called the dorsal attention circuits, the outside surfaces of your brain, you're actually squishing and inhibiting the internal circuits that allow you to be playful, allow you to be creative, allow you to, if you're like, relax into daydreams.
But everybody relaxes differently, Ian. So, for example, is it fair to say that an idle mind is a more relaxed mind? Because somebody might thoroughly enjoy having their brain stimulated. They're reading this, they're reading that, and they'd say, oh, I'm relaxing, I'm enjoying this.
No, you're absolutely right, Richard. What I was describing was the positive aspects of mind wandering. But there's also a whole other body of evidence that says the wandering mind is an unhappy mind. If you can have your attention focused just on a task, even though it's an unpleasant task, like cleaning the kitchen or something, if you're to the extent that your attention is focused on that and not focused on wandering to any other thoughts, if you like, or memories, then you will tend to have a higher, better mood and lower anxiety. So yes, you're right. But the problem is, because our attention is largely under the control of technology these days, and we see this in reduced attention span, students are very much less likely to read entire books than they used to be. It's hard for them to sustain their attention for 30 minutes. It's very difficult for them to do that without, if you like, the interruptions of tech. That muscle of us keeping our mind on what we're doing. And this is what things like mindfulness train us to do, and why they're so important for us to do.
And technology clearly plays a big part in how that plays out. Elaine, when it comes to technology and technology companies, what are the things that they're doing to keep us engaged? The sort of so-called dark patterns or tricks that can be applied. What are they?
Yeah, so there are some things that we would be very keenly aware of. Say the fact that a notifications icon tends to flash up in red, and that red colouring does stand out quite a bit. Red often gives people a sense of urgency. It's also, say, in your email inbox, it would be associated with urgent messages, a kind of red notification or red flag. So that's kind of an obvious one. But then there's like more subtle ones that maybe seem a bit nefarious, and they're not necessarily things that people own up to either. Like the fact that we have continuous scrolling. I mean, the inventor of that himself is upset about it and regrets doing it. And like things like engagement and likes and stuff like that. So like then you share things because you seek those kind of engagements and likes and that kind of thing. And even I remember back when it was still Twitter, there was lots of speculation that this was a feature, not a bug, where you would open the app and it would show you some tweets and then it would quickly refresh. So you've lost what you were just reading and it might have engaged you. And then you start scrolling to find that thing that you just started reading. But then you're scrolling and you're getting distracted by the other things that are being presented to you. So what I find is that a lot of the time, these apps and platforms and stuff like that, and it's not all of them. This is the thing about it. Like your phone does a lot of things. And often what you do is pick it up to do something that you've planned to do, something with intention. So you might pick it up to check the time. You might pick it up to check the weather. You might pick it up to check your schedule. Really practical things that we store on this device. But you have a bunch of other things on that phone that are desperately trying to call for your attention because that's something that they can monetize themselves. So I kind of try not to give over to the techno-determinism of saying that they then control us, because like we do have control if we are more mindful of this and we act with more intention.
To an extent as well, they're giving us what we want. I mean, you can have the scrolling mechanism, and the scrolling mechanism works very, very well. I mean, they'll say that it actually helps people to do lots of different things at once and to multitask.
Yeah, but it also kind of helps you to maybe spend more time than you intended to do a thing. So it's just, I think something that's really helped me in terms of improving how I engage with technology, and like admittedly, like Ian admitted as well, like I know I'm not perfect and I definitely have my flaws here, but being more conscious about what I'm doing, whether I actually am getting to the point of finishing the task that I picked the phone up to do, what took me away from completing that task, like trying to pay attention to things like that has really changed how I do things. And one thing that I did early on in that process was I turned off notifications on practically every app because I don't need to be notified.
And Ian, aside from those kinds of practical things that people can do to try and reduce that, how important is a level of slow time for the brain in a particular day or a particular week?
It's absolutely crucial, Richard. Studies have been done of memory, of getting people to remember a list of words and then either in the subsequent half hour before they're tested again, either play games on a phone or scroll versus just sit and do nothing. You don't find any difference in how much they remember half an hour later, but a week later, you remember much more than the people that were sitting doing nothing. So that's because if you're always on, if you're always scrolling, if you're always the victim of notifications, and I agree with Elaine hugely, switch off notifications. I don't have any notifications on my phone. To the extent that you're always on, what you're doing is you're closing down the back office work of your brain, all the sorting, the sifting, the memory. So you'll remember less, you'll be less, perform worse. And the other thing about this, all this involves multitasking. The brain cannot multitask. All it can do is switch rapidly between tasks. And that switching is enormously exhausting. It tires us out. And that drags down our mood. So constantly being on, constantly having notifications, switching from our emails to our messages, and doing that all day exhausts us. People are tired at the end of the day and their mood is low and their anxiety is high because that has happened.
Professor Ian Robertson and Elaine Burke of the For Tech's Sake podcast, thank you very much for joining us on the program.